4, VRD, mobile and monitoring.
4, ARD, N4, ZLK, good afternoon.
ZLK, hey, this is Adam driving home from Spartanburg to Simpsonville. I'm on 85 right now. How you doing today?
Afternoon, Adam. My name is Shane, and I do not envy you driving on 85 from Spartanburg to Simpsonville. I'm probably doing better than you. I'm also driving home, but I did come from the airport just a little bit ago, picked up my daughter and son-in-law, dropped them off over here at their house on the west side of Greenville, and then headed back home.
Not too bad right now. I find that when I go to work in the morning, I only go into the office like once a week and work from home for the rest. And on my way to Spartanburg, the traffic to Spartanburg is very light. And on the way home, typically the traffic is pretty light. So I'm pretty lucky. I'm not usually stuck in traffic. So it's not too bad. It could be a whole lot worse. But I'll tell you what, man, driving on 85 just makes me nervous. I'm just glad I don't have to do this every day. I mean, you know, people doing crazy things, and sometimes the road is all potholes and stuff everywhere. So I'm glad I only have to do it once a week, more or less.
It's not the most fun place to be on. You got to keep your eyes moving all the time. But anyway, I heard there was a tractor trailer that may have jackknifed, I'm not sure, but it was blocking two lanes on the northbound side around Pelham, and I think it's still there. They may have gotten it off now, but traffic was backed up all the way down to Whitehorse Road, all the way down to exit 44, so that's about 10-mile backup a couple hours earlier.
It wasn't me, Shane. I was in Charlotte all day. Fun find up there, let me tell you. NC9V, named Leon here, by the way.
Leon. Go ahead, Adam.
So I used to work on Pelham Road, and, you know, coming from where I live in Simpsonville to Pelham Road, I could get there just going up Highway 14, and I didn't have to get on the interstate. And I would always look over the bridge on 85 and just see red lights on my right, red lights on my left. And as I'm going over that bridge, I was just like, man, I'm so glad I don't have to get on the interstate. So. Oh, well, here I'm seeing some brake lights. I'm slowing down now, unfortunately. So hopefully we'll keep on moving, and I'll get off 85 here soon. But yeah, you gotta stay focused here, because it can be tricky.
Yeah, it's been tricky all day. I just came through there. It's no fun. And got coming through Charlotte. It's all the time, right there by what is it? 74 in that area. When I got on 85 from 485, it was crawling like a snail. So, I'm not missing the traffic on 85, but I'll get to deal with it again tomorrow. Fun. Well, you got a day off, Shane?
4 ZLK. Yeah, Leon, I am off on Mondays, unless they call me in, but ran a lot of errands, had a chiropractor appointment this morning, did some grocery shopping, and then met Beth at the hospital, and she had our granddaughter with her, and I took the granddaughter, and she stayed with the new granddaughter, sat with her for a few hours while her mom went and took a shower back at home, and then I ran back to brought Ada back to meet Beth, and transferred her again while I went to the airport, sorry, and pick up my daughter and son-in-law. They flew back from Costa Rica. They spent a few days down there. And anyway, so now I'm headed home. So it doesn't really feel like I had a day off. And Adam, what do you do? Where do you work one day a week? I know you work from home, but what's the company you work for that you can go in one day a week?
KQ4VRD. I'm a mortgage lender. So the company I work for is called Go Mortgage, and their office is in Spartanburg. Most of my business, most of the people I work with are in the Greenville area. So I have a lot of appointments around Greenville. And when I first joined Uber in Spartanburg, I had an appointment that I had to get to. So I went into the office and then left. I gave myself like an hour to get to my appointment. But, you know, sure enough, there was a wreck on 85, and, you know, it took me like an hour and a half to get there. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. If I have an appointment in Greenville, I'm going to have to stay in, at home, or otherwise I'm just not going to get there. And it just doesn't make sense just to be in my car for, you know, 3 hours a day. So I'm lucky enough I can work from home a little bit, and I enjoy it. The family enjoys it.
That's good to be able to do that. And it, let me ask you, Ken, real quick, is your call ARD or Victor Romeo Delta?
Victor Romeo Delta. Yeah, I didn't correct you initially, but KQ4VRD.
Thank you for asking, Shane.
The same thing. Yeah, I thought I heard ARD. I don't know how. These older ears, I guess. Anyway, well, that's good. Adam, I'm glad you could do that. And Leon, are you still working? Are you on the way back with, you said you went to Charlotte. Are you headed home?
Yeah, headed back up the mountain. Wondering if I'm ahead of you or behind you. I know you're over there in the same direction. I'm on 290 now. Just, what is this little road here? Rutherford Road, so they call it. Yeah, Rutherfordton Road.
Me, I have made it back to 25 below Traveler's Rest on the Greenville side. Dropped my daughter and son-in-law off, and now I'm headed towards Marietta.
That way. And I also had the same question about that call sign. Apparently our ears hear the same thing. Oh, maybe I just locked it, because at my age, I have to repeat call signs numerous times for me to remember them. So, but I've got you now, Adam.
Just remember my call sign. I'll tell you what, I can't remember anybody's call sign after I talk for about 30 seconds or so. And I think I'm 37, so I'm not old, I'm not young, but I wasn't around for a whole long time where you had to memorize everybody's phone number. You know, I kind of came into the picture where you had a phone book in your phone and it was all just stored in there. So I think that has something to do with it. I think some of the older guys, you know, they can have a QSO and remember the call sign for hearing it the first time. And I'm struggling with that, but I'm getting a little bit better. Do you struggle with that? Remembering the new call sign for the whole QSO?
At first became a ham. Yes, I struggled the same way. I feel, based on your call, you're fairly new, maybe a couple years or a year and a half or so. KQ4VRD, I think my youngest son just got his license right before Christmas, and he's KQ4WJT. Now, W comes after V, right? WXY? Yeah. So maybe not even a year you've had your call sign. It'll come to you, kind of like names. You'll start picking them up. And if you repeat it, you know, like every few minutes, like I'll say KQ4VRD from N4ZLK. It's not required, but it does help. The more you hear it, the more you say it, the quicker it'll stick in your mind.
There's hope for me. But I got my license. It was, I think, mid-September or so. I got my license about 2 weeks before Helene hit. And it's such a shame because I think Hurricane Helene was such a great time to have a ham radio, have your license, know how to use it, you know, whether it's just VHF or if you have the HF stuff. But I had my license, but I didn't really have all of the knowledge to really take advantage of it fully with Helene. So, part of me is kind of like, man, the next time that happens, I'll be ready. I don't hope it happens, but I'll be ready if that happens again.
Some different version, but it was something similar will happen again. That's why I'm a wholehearted fan of ham radio. I was the only one on the mountain that had any kind of communication.
Every disaster or crisis, it doesn't look exactly like the one before. It looks a little bit different, so it's good to be prepared for the unexpected, for sure.
My call sign, I'm from North Carolina, 9 volt. That's my moniker, I guess.
Pineville. Okay, and Liam, can you give me your call again? I've forgotten it already.
I'm gonna blow your mind with it. North Carolina NC 9V. North Carolina 9 volt. November Charlie 9 Victor.
Sure, yeah, NC 9V and N4ZLK, I believe it was. This is KQ4VRD. Thanks for the QSO, guys. That made my trip a whole lot easier. I'm off the interstate now, getting closer to home, so I might have to take off in a moment here. But it was great to meet you guys, Shane, Leon. And, yeah, you guys have a good evening, and 7-3s to you.
Three. Nice to meet you tonight, and welcome to the hobby. And just pick up that microphone. Don't be afraid to use it. I know I was, and a lot of people are. But we won't bite, or at least not hard. Anyway, but there's a lot of good people on here. We're glad to have you. N4ZLK. Go ahead, Leon.
Hey, Adam. Jumping in any time and leave any time. It's a CIR-4. And my son, KN4GTM, Kilo November 4, Golf Tango. I can't remember what. Mary? that's an old police term. Sorry. KN4GTM. I can't remember the M or N now. GTN and November. KN4GTM. I don't know, maybe, I'll have to check it again. Anyway, that's my son, that's Dean. He gets in and out of here, and I want him to get on there and talk a lot more. He's Mr. Quiet on the radio. But have a good night. Take care and enjoy your family. NC9V.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot. KQ4VRD, and I'm clear.
There, Shane.
Another 20 minutes. And, your son's call sign, I still struggle with. I've talked to him once or twice, and there's some that I don't have any issues remembering, and I guess I haven't talked to him enough or heard him enough, but he seems to have one that doesn't stick in my mind.
Phonetic for M is in Mary. I can't remember that. I'm sure it's M. Yeah, okay. Too many phonetics in my history.
Sure. You guys probably, how many of them line up in the law enforcement world? Probably most of them are the same, aren't they?
Not. Quebec, you got Queen. M, Mike is Mary. I mean, it's, and then if you go to the 10 codes, it gets worse. That's why they try to do away with the 10 codes, just use plain talk. Because you get something like a disaster or something where there has to be some kind of interoperability. And you got people throwing out 10 codes that don't mean anything to somebody or mean something totally different to somebody else. So they teach you to use plain speak.
Richard, if the original idea of the 10 codes was kind of keep, I mean, I know you could find it. There's ways of finding out what they were, but kind of keep the, keep a little secret, not nefariously, but you know, if you got a bad accident or something, you're not broadcasting it out over analog radio where people are listening. So if they don't know the 10 codes, of course, I will say though, thinking about it, most people, if they've got a scanner and listening, they probably know what the 10 codes mean anyway.
She's down the larger agencies, and eventually the smaller ones will go to digital, so you won't have anything. They'll just change the encryption codes every now and then. Or the, whatever they call it, is that encryption code? That's a bad word, encryption. They're not trying to encrypt it. Just change the digital code.
I'm going to get to with the rest of my point, and Keith, was that now that everything's going digital, it's a little bit harder to listen to, for the public to listen to. They probably, it's easier to do away with the 10 codes.
Some agencies, then you get somebody's been in law enforcement for a long time and they want to bring them back. And 601, a half a dozen of the other. But it's kind of interesting with this new digital stuff coming out. When they went digital, they went narrow band. And you know the properties of digital communications. And then you take it and go narrow band. They kind of threw a monkey wrench in public safety communications. It makes it harder to communicate and the communications on the narrow band are a little bit harder to understand and not as reliable as wide band. And I don't know. It's just a mixed bag, I guess, if you will.
Everybody has their own opinion about the way things should be done. Same way with doing away with the Morse code requirement. Everybody's got an opinion on that. N4, is that okay?
9B. I watched a video on YouTube the other day of a guy banging out some Morse code. And let me tell you, he was rocking. I don't know how many words. I never got to see it. It's kind of one of those things where I was listening to the videos. I was doing something else, and I wasn't paying that much attention. But, man, this guy was banging out some Morse code, some CW. You have admiration for something like that. But that was it back in the day.
Anything, there are a few people who can pick something up like that, or a musical instrument, or some other skill, and can just seem to master it very quickly. I mean, I know it takes work. I'm not saying that they were born. I mean, you know, you've got your savants that are born with gifts that just seem to be able to do it. But it's work. But then there are other people like me that can, with a lot of work, I can get a little bit out of it. So. And I think over time, if I keep using it, just that, you know, you should hopefully get a little better. And then there was my father-in-law who just could not get it. He could do, you know, he just couldn't get past maybe 10 words and never could. And he was old school. I mean, he was, he got into ham radio in the late 70s or early 80s. And he loved Morse code, but he never could get good enough at it to pass the general. So he never was able to do phone on the lower bands.
And, it was a requirement. You had to do 13 words a minute. And I was struggling, trying to get that. Then it did away with it. I went ahead and got the no code. So I was happy about it, doing away with it. What I've gotten into the hobby and been this far into it without or having to learn the Morse code, what I've stuck with it is a good question. I'm not sure I would have kept on plugging away at it if I was not getting it initially, you know?
Of course, back in that day, too, there wasn't a lot of the other stuff. I mean, there was slow scan TV, and there was, I think, PSK and Packet and all that for digital, but that was about it. It was phone, CW, and then a couple little of the other stuff. AmTOR, maybe. I might be saying that right, or might not be saying that right. But there wasn't all the options we've got today.
So I got my wife into it. It was the age before the cell phone. And when I was working, she wanted some way to be able to communicate. I wanted some way to communicate with her. So amateur radio was the way to go.
They allow you to carry radio, amateur radio, when you were working for the police?
Put it this way. They never said no. And when they did, when anybody said anything about it, I said, you know, this is designed for emergency services. If it's an emergency, I can communicate with people. I even talk them into letting me put a CB radio in my cruiser, which a lot of agencies would not like and would not allow.
I agree. I think they shouldn't have an issue with it, but then again, if it becomes a distraction, I could, you know, but I think most people, the chances of becoming a distraction would be less than the chances of it being, you know, being a force for good or whatever. But yeah, same with me. My company's never told me no either, but I've never given them the opportunity to say no. But I know my boss knows, has to know about it, because everybody I work with knows about it.
They watch me put the big old mag mount on top of my rig. You know, when I'm getting in the truck, you know, put the bag mount up there, put the radio in, plug it in the cigarette lighter. They haven't said anything about it. They don't have any complaints. I guess it's no different than having a CB radio, which where they would not object to. So, but yeah, you're talking about getting into law enforcement. When I got in law enforcement, they'd buy the cruisers, and the cruisers would come with an AM or AM/FM radio, and they would pay somebody to take those out. You'd get your brand hammer new car. The big old cavernous hole where the radio used to be.
Radio's now, N4ZLK.
I'll leave them in now. some have really nice radios. You know, whatever stock vehicle you buy, that's what they come with. And there's some happy campers when they let us keep the radios in it.
Well, I mean, the same with my company. I've only been doing what I do now with UPS for 10 years. I mean, I've been there 35 years, 34 years. But when I started 10 years ago driving tractor-trailer for them, our tractors didn't have radios in them either. So we bring our own radios. They had a 12-volt, you know, attachment on the side. And I had a little board I made up. It had a car stereo and a CB radio connected to it. And I could just bring it, carry it in, set it on the dash or set it on the seat and plug the wires up to it. And then I could, and they had a place for speaker wire attachment, but it wasn't until our 20, I'm trying to think of what model tractors we got, they finally started coming with the radios. I think all the manufacturers are like, sorry, we're not making special tractors for you anymore. We're not changing the assembly line to spring suspension anymore. We're all going to airbags, so that's what you're going to get. You're going to get radios. You're going to get air conditioning, you know, just like everybody else.
When I first started, I was one of the fortunate people that went out and bought my own ballistic vest. And the vest I had on, you know, I was in Charleston, 98-degree weather, and the air conditioner went out in the car, and I went back to the desk sergeant, who was the responsible for assigning the cars, and he said, you don't need an air conditioner. What's it, you know, how many years we've had people out there working with no air conditioners? Air conditioner is a luxury. You don't need that.
Little brown delivery trucks, the package cars, they have never had air condition. Now, with this last contract we signed last year, any vehicle 2024 and newer is supposed to have AC in them. But it'll probably be a while before they buy newer vehicles. They'll just keep recycling the older ones.
Trailer with DEF, right? They had to put DEF fluid in it. I just realized the other day, both my tractors do not have DEF fluid.
Driving the little bit older ones, what are they, 2010, 2012?
Well, I meant my garden tractors, my ones I use at the house. The ones at work, yeah, they all have DEF in them now, but my personal trackers, they don't have any DEF. I'm like, that's cool. I have to keep those for a while.
All right, you said tractors, and I automatically thought of working. Okay, yeah, don't get rid of those. They'll probably go up in value.
After I said it, I said, oh, he's a trucker, you'll know. He came back and said, let me clarify that one. Yeah. And talking about the radios and the cruisers, they would actually buy the cruisers with the radios, and then they would pay somebody to take the radios out, and they were allowed to keep the radios too. So not only they got paid for the radios, they had all these radios to sell.
Yeah, that sounds like something UPS would do. Anyway, I'm trying to think of how long ago I was still driving a tractor at work that didn't have DEF, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe a couple years. Couple of years ago. But anyway, I'm not far from home, Leon, so I'll let you go. Enjoyed it. I hope you have a safe trip home back up the mountain. And we'll talk again. NC9V and 4ZLK Mobile. Talk to you later.
Good night, and I appreciate you riding along for a little bit. About perfect timing, because I'll be going up the air shortly. Take care. Good conversation. NC9V.